Lord, as we study this passage together, help us by your Spirit to learn more of who you are and who we are in you. Amen. We are near the end of a series on the book of Exodus. The Israelites had been enslaved in Egypt. God, upon hearing their cries, rescued them, led them. He was their provider, protector. Says in chapter 19, I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Then God made a covenant promise, saying, if you obey me fully, this was the condition, if you obey me fully, then out of all nations, you will be my treasured possession. His desire was to show them how to be in a relationship with him. The commandments he gave to Moses written on tablets of stone. The Israelites broke that covenant by worshipping a golden calf. And because of their idolatry, Moses threw the tablets against the rocks. And God in his anger was set to destroy them. Chapter 32. Here, the Israelites see for the first time how detestable their sin is to God. They begin to understand, to realise that he is holy. They repent, and he holds back his wrath with the reins of his love. Our focus today will be on, it is all about God and his grace to all who belong to him. Say you were doing your shopping in Sainsbury's and you were standing in the queue and the person behind taps you on the shoulder and says, who is God? What is he like? How would you answer that? One theologian, A.W. Tozer, wrote this. What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. I'll read that again. What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. Let us now turn to our passage and see what God says about himself at the top of Mount Sinai. Look with me at verse 6, which reads, and he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, the Lord, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Here, God reveals his character to Moses, to the Israelites who had sinned. These must have been comforting words for them to hear. That revelation on the mountain has been quoted in Psalms. It runs like a golden thread throughout the Old Testament. Mentioned in Joel chapter 2, Jonah chapter 4 to name a few. Reminding each rebellious generation, reminding us here, this generation today, of his overflowing love and grace for all who belong to him. All are invited. You don't have to work on your lifestyle first. For those of us already in Christ, your name has been written in the book of life, and it will never be erased. He says to us all, come as you are to me. Before we move on, I'd like us to pick up the reading from where we left off. Look with me at verse 7, halfway down, which reads, yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation. This reveals the other side of God's character. He is holy, and sin is detestable to him. But this verse, it can be taken completely out of context. It can be misunderstood. I know of a Christian who had once been told that the cause of her suffering was unforgiven sin committed by one of her relatives from the past. That is not what this verse means. Yes, God is holy. Yes, sin is detestable to him. But he does not cause suffering. And he certainly does not hold any child, anyone accountable for another person's sin. The only way a child can suffer because of their parent is if they pick up bad habits from that parent. We pick up both good and bad habits from our families. We are all from Adam, sinful in nature, in our self-centeredness. It's the human condition. On the day of judgment, when Christ returns, and he will, we will each have to stand and give an account of our own lives. The good news for us is Jesus. All who profess he is Lord have been redeemed by his blood. 1 Peter 1. And grafted into a new family tree. This cost him dearly, but his perfect justice is equal to his amazing grace. Like the words from the song, my chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Saviour, has ransomed me, and like a flood, his mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. The Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Back to the Israelites, who had broken the covenant law, the tablets of stone lying in pieces on the floor. Now look with me at how our passage opens, verse 1, which reads, the Lord said to Moses, chisel out 2 stone tablets like the first ones, and I will write on them the words that were on the first tablets which you broke. Look further down, verse 10. Then the Lord said, I am making a covenant with you. Before all your people, I will do wonders never before done in any nation in all the world. The covenant which had originally been made, then broken, here in our passage, it is being renewed. Did anyone watch a programme recently on TV about Royal Navy recruits? It followed them through 10 weeks of intense training, after which those who made the grade were taken on. One chap called Tony, he completed his training, which is great because he was really passionate. But on the day of his passing out parade, graduation, he used his phone without permission, and by doing so he broke Navy rules, their law. So while his family were outside waiting for the ceremony to start, poor Tony was stood in front of a very stern looking senior officer who dismissed him on the spot. I really felt sorry for him. That same officer then went to find him and gave Tony an invitation to re-enlist. I'm not for 1 minute making a comparison now between Navy rules and God's law. That would be ridiculous. But for Tony, Navy rules remained. They were fit for purpose. It was he who needed to change. In a similar way, God's covenant did not change. Because it was perfect. He is perfect. Before making it, he said to the Israelites, chapter 19, I brought you out on eagle's wings. I split the sea for you. Here in our passage, his words to Moses, before it's renewed, verse 6. I am the Lord, merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, forgiving not just once but over and over iniquity and sin. His motivation so clear. We are under the new covenant, foretold by the prophet Jeremiah in chapter 31 of the book that bears his name. Christ came, not to replace the old, not to amend it, but to fulfil it, which he did fully and completely for you and for me. Did for us what we could not do for ourselves. We could never meet God's standard in our own strength. Jesus poured himself out to offer us life. This gift was oh so costly to him. So worship, read scripture and pray. Allow his spirit in, because it is from there he takes the words written on stone tablets, takes the words written in our Bibles here, and will lift them off the page and write his truths, his will, onto our hearts. Hebrews chapter 8. Come as you are, and he will transform you, transform me from within. We're coming to the end now. Remember that quote I mentioned right at the beginning by Tozer? What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. Jesus came into the world to confirm that God is just who he said he is on that mountain. Compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Maintaining steadfast love for thousands, forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. He is the same today as he was back then. So whatever our history, whatever season of life we are in, his love and his grace, it overflows. You and I can put our trust in him. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for your revealed word. Help us to open our hearts and minds. Lord, teach us by your Spirit and show us the way. Amen.